There is no force in optional deeds. In optional deeds, you must do out of love. You must do out of love. You mustn't be forced to do optional deeds. So, what were we discussing? Time for Allah Ta'ala. Take out time for Allah Ta'ala. Just turn to Allah. Be alone with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Zikrullah, Dua, Tilawat of Quran Sharif, Salah. Every person must have that time. And that's how we will build the relationship with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So, Azadi Rahmatullahi mentions that many letters come to me. Some mudarrisin, meaning teachers, people who are teaching, they write to me that I had developed within myself a love for seclusion. And students will have the same complaint. Students too would have the same complaint. Sometimes teachers will have the same complaint that I want to be in seclusion. But now wherever I'm sitting now, if somebody will see me, they'll come in. They want to talk something. So students also will experience this, that you want to just be quiet, you want to do your work, whatever. You're trying to make mutala, now one person will come in. He'll say he wants to study. And when you go for Umrah and Hajj, now we're coming towards Hajj. When you're going for Umrah and Hajj also, you experience the same thing. Now I always mention to my friends who are going for Umrah, going for Hajj, I tell them, but there's no friends there. There's no friends. You see, the person you're traveling now, now this person, oh, you're staying in this hotel, oh, I'm also in the same hotel, you two in the same hotel. Or at what time you're going Haram, phone me, right? Phone me, we'll go. But the Haram is big, man. You don't need GPS, nothing. Everybody can find their way in the Haram and they find their way out of the Haram. No problem, right? But now, you know, it will go together, you know. So now if you made up your mind that, look, I'm going 7 o'clock, I'm going 8 o'clock, now you are ready. Now you phone that friend. Alright, I'll meet you downstairs, eh? Wait for me, eh? We're going together. Now sometime he's coming half an hour later. He only woke up the time when you phoned me. Now half an hour of yours is gone. By now you already finished it here to masjid. You already started making dua. You already started reading Quran Sharif, but now you're still here in the, sitting here in the foyer. And in the meantime, one auntie from Malaysia walked in. One auntie from somebody else walked in. Somebody came to fight with the hotel staff there about the toilet not clean. Somebody came to argue. Now you're taking in all these stories now. Pancha. You're taking in all these stories. Now when your friend comes, you got one whole encyclopedia to narrate to him. Now instead of making zikrullah and walking to the Haram, now you're busy talking. Then on the way, you know what? That Al-Fajr shop is open, man. My nephew's, niece's, auntie's, granny gave me the shop to change the battery. You mind? I just go quickly, man. So now another few minutes gone. Then by time you walking, you met one friend, he met three friends, by you entering the Haram 1 hour later. Then you're sitting in the Haram, now you had all your plans. I'm going to read so much Quran Sharif, I'm going to read so much Durood, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. After half an hour, now he nudges you. Hey, you know what? That other section there, a nice place to sit over there. Where you keep hopping like a grasshopper, talking, your whole ibadat gets spoiled. You go for Umrah, you go for Hajj. You must be, you are on your journey. You are on your journey. You must find your time. In all that crowd, you must be alone. Sab ke saath reh ke bhi sab se juda na hai. You be with everybody, but you are alone. You are just connected with Allah Ta'ala. You are alone. You are doing your thing, connecting yourself with Allah Rabbul Izzat. So whether it's a student in the madrasa, sometimes it can be a teacher. Sometimes a person is going in Jamaat, sometimes a person is going Khanqah, sometimes he's going for Umrah, whatever. All these things a person is doing to connect with Allah Ta'ala. But when he always needs all these friends around him, and the friends are not of the same mindset, then everything just gets spoiled. Everything gets spoiled. So this person, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, they're writing, he said that now they come to sit with me, then they start talking now. Start blabbing about this, blabbing about that. So what should I do in a situation like that? What should I do? So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, I wrote to him, let's see what you must do. You must sit with the kitab nearby. Keep one kitab nearby. And as soon as they come to start discussing this and that, open the kitab. Say, but you know, I read this, I came across this very remarkable incident in the kitab, and start reading. Start reading from the kitab. Slowly they stop coming by you. Because they don't want talim, they want pancha. So they see every time they come by you, now you're taking out one kitab and you're starting to read, they stop coming to sit by you. They stop coming to sit by you. Those who are keen, they are interested in deen, they will sit. Others who just want panchat, they'll stop coming by you. So using this tactic, they will go and they won't return in the future. Should they return, repeat the process. When they see this two or three times, it will not be necessary to say anything more. There won't be. Our Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned, he says, sometimes you come away into the masjid. Now whether it's in the Haram Sharif or whether it's in your local masjid, you come away into the masjid, your niyat now is to make some dua, to make some dhikrullah. But there are certain people, you know, they are like missiles. Shaitani guided missiles. You know, these armies, they have guided missiles, you know, they spot, they program them for their target and they go. So these people, they wait. They are like shaitani guided missiles. They wait. Now they see you came in the masjid. So now they come. They come with the surround next to you. Now they start one panchat now. They start one story. Right? So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say that as soon as you see that guided missile coming, you know, not only Israel got Iron Dome, you too got Iron Dome, right? You too know now, you know, right, this fellow is coming, you know his style. They're normally the same customers all the time. So you know his style, you know what he's coming for, right? So as soon as he starts making his way to you, pick up him. You start making dua. Now you are in dua now, he can't make panchat with you. You are in dua. So this is a very, very important thing. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. That, you know, seclusion, to be alone, it must become beloved to us. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Maghdah Sahib, he mentions this thing. He says, you know, when a person builds his relationship with Allah Ta'ala, then he is looking for those times to be alone with Allah Ta'ala. He doesn't want to have too many contacts and too many. He was looking for those moments. Now when I can find those moments where I'm detached from everything and I'm just talking to my Allah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. This one point I want to mention to you. See, currently the situation is still continuing there in Gaza. And we find that there's a little bit of a, from the beginning of the, I don't know what you want to call it in Gaza, whatever it is, but from the beginning, there is this like portrayal in the media that Iran is the only country that is backing, you know, only country that's making some noise and saying something, right? Iran and the Houthis of Yemen. Right? Now both these groups are Shia. Both these groups are Shia. Right? You see, sometimes we get carried away with emotions. We're carried away with emotions. And that's not a good thing. You must be a thinker. You mustn't get carried away with emotions. So ask yourself a question. This Shia people, this Iran, is how many months gone now? Where this whole massacre is taking place, how many months gone? It is bombarding the place, bombing the place down to smithereens, right? If this so-called nuclear power, Iran, they regard as nuclear power, if they really had the interests at heart of these Palestinian people, by now they should have had boots on the ground. By now they should have been bombing Israel city. And how, what's wrong with you all? How can you all do this to these people? We need to defend these people. Right? But there's nothing happening like that. Then now and again one something this side, something that side, but the hype in the media. This is all a ploy. It's all the shaitani ploy to make the ignorant Muslim think that, see, now we are, where's everybody else? The only people standing for us are these Shia people. So they are the only people who are on deen. So now you start becoming sympathetic to the Shia cause. So that side, the people will be losing their lives. This side, people will be losing their iman. And this is why ilm is so important. And the Jummah platform mustn't be given to ignorant people. Sometimes you get a person, they just talk, rant, they rant and rave. What they're talking, they don't know. But they're just ranting. Because they also caught up in this emotions. So you must understand something. If you say that no, we must agree with the politics of Iran. So can you agree with people who are swearing the Sahaba radiallahu anhu? The Shia creed is a virus created in Jewish labs to corrupt the Muslim Ummah. That's exactly what it is. They will never ever do something in defense of Sunni Muslims. I must remember that. They will never do anything. They are the enemy of Islam. They are the enemies of Islam. So you mustn't get carried away with this thing. If they are serious, I mean, what more do you want now? According to them, they say Israel bombed one building there in Iran, right? So what more do they want? If they say, no, all this time we were not attacking, we're not attacking Israel because they never attack us, so we're not attacking them, right? So now they attacked you, if that's what you claim. So who are you waiting for now? But you're still sitting there at home. All this thing is planned. All this is planned. It's to fool the Muslim Ummah. We mustn't get fooled with this. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah keep our iman intact. Allah make it asan for the brothers and sisters around the globe who are suffering, especially those in Gaza and other parts of the world. Allah make it asan for them. Allah reward them for all the sacrifices, the qurbani. Allah show them better days. Allah make it asan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna sayyiatina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-'afwa wal 'afiyah wal mu'afat ad-da'imah في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We're continuing the majlis of Hazrat Maulana Masihullah rahmatullah alayhi. Hazrat mentions that save yourself from association with others, mixing too much with people. This intermingling, mixing too much, is not something that is good. So when a person mixes too much, then he becomes dabazabantu. Everything is dabazabantu. He wants to know about this one's panchat, that one's panchat. For people from overseas, sometimes we use some terms, then they get lost. They don't know. Dabazabantu is a Zulu, some words in Zulu, means that a person is only worried about other people's matters. And then that becomes very interesting, because all the time it's a new chapter with somebody else. Our own life is boring, to only worry about your own life. Whereas this is a person's duty, he's supposed to be focusing on his own life. When he mixes too much with people, there are many other evils also that come about, but just this much, I mean, mixing too much with people, this one got one story, that one got one story, that one got one story, worried about everybody else's stories, he forgets his story. He can't concentrate on sorting himself out. So Hazrati Rahmatullah Ali gave this example that when preparing the food, if a good dish has been prepared, the gravy, everything is excellent, everything is fine. But the students move away from the wall. Students, not all young people, elderly people, they need to rest a little bit. You all come, friend, come. You all don't need the wall. I told you all must sit this side. Come this way. So if the food is excellent, the gravy, everything, spices, everything is 100%, but one drop of urine fell in that food, now it becomes napak. The entire food is now wasted. Then you take another example. If the hand mill, nowadays we're not using hand mill, but if it wasn't cleaned properly, and there is some grittiness, and now you grind something in there, and that grit comes inside. Now, no matter how well the savory is prepared, but because in that spices, in that masala, in that whatever was used, there is some grit. Now, can you enjoy that meal? You can't enjoy that meal. The aroma will be there, it will look nice, presentation is there, everything is there. But because there is a grit inside there, now you can't enjoy it. So, ikhtilat is like that. When you mix too much with people. Now, one is, sometimes we have to mix. You are in business, you have to talk to your customers, you have to do certain things, sometimes you have to meet with clients, patients, whatever your profession or our work may be, that is not regarded as mixing for no reason. Mixing for no reason is now over and above that. Now we're just looking for company all the time. We want to be in company all the time. Then we want to just make panchat, talk, and then one thing leads to another. Slowly, slowly it will end up in ghibat, it will end up in other things. Hazrati Rahmatullah Ali gives one example here. From this example, we learn many things. Some people, the example may be a little bit over the top also. Because our ruhani sinuses and everything is blocked. So sometimes when we hear things like this, how is this possible, you know? But listen to the example. Hazrat Maulana Habibur Rahman Sahib, he was the Khadim-e Khas, he was a special attendant of Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So later on, Maulana Habibur Rahman Sahib had become the Muhtamim, he had become the principal of Darul Uloom Deoband. So in his young days, when he was attending to Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, it was his duty to make the tea. Today's time, murids, they expect to be served. In the old days, the murid used to serve the sheikh. Now the sheikh have to serve the murid. It's gone the other way around. Murids come, say, no, Mana, my pillow is not right. There, my bedding is not right there. Now the sheikh must sort out all the arrangements for the murid. Before it was the other way around. The murid was worried about the comfort of the sheikh. These people now, on our Habibur Rahman sahab, so his duty was to make the tea. But I'm not asking you to worry about my comfort. Eh? I got too many people looking after my comfort. If any more people come get involved, then I'll get lazy. So don't worry. So Hazrat Rawala, meaning Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he related to us an incident that once took place. That Maulana Habibur Rahman sahab made the tea and he served it to Maulana Gangohi sahab Rahmatullah Ali. So Maulana Gangohi sahab said that I'm tasting some rawness in this tea. Raw. But we don't even know that you can taste something else in the tea. I'm saying tasting some. You see, when a person's tabiat, he's got a very, very nazuk tabiat, you know, he can pick up on little things. They say, I'm tasting some rawness in this tea. So, the next day when he made the tea again, the Maulana Gangohi drank the tea, but he just commented, he said, I can taste some rawness in this tea. So, next day when he made the tea, he presented it to Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. So, Azad said, today there's no rawness in this tea. Today the tea is not, I'm not getting the taste. So, Maulana Habibur Rahman sahab, he started pondering, that what went wrong yesterday? What went wrong? What did I do wrong? I did everything exactly the same on both days. I used the same teapot, the same milk pot, the same cup, the same strainer. Everything was used the same. What was the difference? After some deep thought, it struck him. He said, yesterday, after washing the utensils, I merely shook off the dripping water. Today, I wiped the utensils dry with the dishcloth. So that water that was left in the utensils, that didn't get boiled. So that's what Maulana Gangohi was tasting. I'm tasting some rawness in this tea. Because whatever water was left in the cup, he could taste it. Now, this is not a mas'ala, but sometimes you have to explain these things. You know, some years ago, one Jum'ah, no, it was a Saturday morning, one person pitched up at home, you know, and I was there in Quwwatul Islam Masjid, Ginger Road, what they call Ginger Road Masjid. So one person came home there, and he was only in his bottom garment, you know. He was wearing like a three-quarter pants. No vest, nothing. No shoes, no socks, nothing. So he pitched up there with the door, and he was a musalli in the masjid, you know. So he pitched up, said, bhaiyo, kya hua, what happened to you? He quickly got him something, gave him something to cover himself, brought him inside the house, he's crying, everything. He said, but what happened? So he said, no, Maulana, you know, I listened to everything, I tried to implement it, but now, I don't know, my family, they got very upset with me, they hit me, they threw me out of the house. Hey, what happened? He said, no, yesterday you gave that example about the parrot. So I went home and opened the parrot. So now the parrot flew away. The parrot belonged to my daughter-in-law. So now when they came from work, you see the parrot not there. I said, no, Maulana, I said, mustn't keep parrot. So now they hit me, they threw me out of the house. So what was the example? Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali, in his Marifa Matnavi. Now the stories in Marifa Matnavi, they're not even true stories. They are all just, most of it, maybe 90% of it is stories, just to take an ibrat, to take a lesson. What happened was, one person, it's a story, it's not anything real. This person had a parrot. So now he was going to India, to visit, going to India. So in those days, many people still had family in the villages, in the gam and all that. So when you were going to India, it was like a big thing. Everybody is giving you one letter, give my parents the letter, give my this one the letter, somebody want to send one gift, whatever. So everybody was giving him things, so now he's packing his bag and getting ready. So he asked his parrot, he said, everybody got one request, you don't have any request. So the parrot told him that, see, my family is also there in India, in the park. So you must just go there and give them my salam. Just go and give them my salam. So anyway, this person went to India, he went visiting everything. And then towards the end of his trip, he remembered what his parrot told him. So he said, alright, khair, let me go and convey the parrot salam also. So he went there to the park and he conveyed the salam. So when he conveyed the salam, so one parrot fell down dead. From the tree, one parrot fell down dead. So he got amazed and he said, what happened here now? I just conveyed the salam and now this parrot fell down dead. So anyway, he returned home after his trip and now he had other parcels to give to people and whatever, amanat and everything. So then his parrot asked him, said, bhai, did you go and give my salam? So he said, yeah, I give my salam, but you got some ajeeb connections. So I just give your salam, your one connection fell down dead in the park there. So when this parrot heard that, this parrot too fell down dead. Fell down dead in the cage. So this man is saying, it's the ajeeb thing now. Now my parrot also died. So anyway, he took the parrot out from the cage and he took it outside. He said, now I have to dig and bury this parrot. So as soon as he took the parrot outside, so the parrot flew. The parrot flew and went and perched on one branch on the tree. So he's asking the parrot, he said, now what tamasha is this now? You acted like you were dead and now the parrot told him, he said, no, you had me imprisoned here in this cage and my family, they are all free in the park. So when I told you to give my salam, I was sending them a message, that how do I gain my freedom? So my cousin that side, he sent a message back. He said that just act dead. Till you showing that you got life, they'll keep you in the cage. But if you are dead, then nobody's going to be interested in you. They'll take you out and that's your freedom. So Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he gives this example. And it's not a true story, it's just a made up thing. He gave this example and then he said that, see, if we really want our freedom, then we must make our nafs dead to this world. Until the nafs is alive and you're getting all excited with all the things of this world, getting excited with the material things and worldly accomplishments, etc., we will never find true freedom. True freedom will be when this nafs is dead. And now we only become Allah's. You know, in the French Revolution, so one person had made a statement. He said, I'd rather be ruled by a single lion than by 1,000 mice. So this is exactly what it will become. That when a person's nafs is dead, his nafs is annihilated, now he will be ruled by Allah Ta'ala. His whole life will become only Allah Ta'ala. And then his life becomes simple. When he realizes that I'm only answerable to Allah Ta'ala, I only have to make Allah Ta'ala happy, I only have to worry about whether Allah Ta'ala is pleased with me or Allah is naraz with me. Now he becomes free. His life becomes very, very easy. But until he's trying to please the people, people you can never please. Our Hazrat Inspector Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned this one incident, that one person, he was traveling with his family, and they had a horse. It was himself, his wife, and his child. So he told the family that, see, we only got one horse, and we got a long distance to go. So what we'll do is we'll take turns, you know, to ride the horse. So now you all are fresh. You all are fresh. We're just starting the journey. So what I'll do is I'll ride. You all walk for a while. And then when you're tired, then you'll take turns, you know, and I'll walk, you'll take turns to ride. So now the husband is on the horse, and the wife and the child are walking alongside the horse. So they pass by one group of people. So those people made a comment. They said, look at this zalim husband. He's a man. He's supposed to be walking. He's sitting like a proud person on the horse and making his poor wife and child walk. The husband heard this. He felt very bad. So he said, you know, I'd rather come down, put the wife on the horse. You know, you rather go on the horse. I'll walk with the child. So they carried on. They go past another group of people. Look at this mother. Look at this wife. She got no respect for husband. She got no love for a child. She's sitting on the horse like a big Rani, and she left the husband and the child to walk. This must be a petticoat government story. So the wife heard that. She said, yeah, I'm not riding. So, all right, put the child on the horse. Me and you will walk. Now they go past another group of people. Today's children, where's the akkal? Making the parents walk and the child is riding. The child to say, you know what, I too rather come down. Now the father says, you know what, all of us can't be walking. All right, never mind. All of us get onto the horse. We all get onto the horse. They all got onto the horse now. They pass by another group of people. So look at this zalim family. Three of them riding on one horse. So they got off. They say, best thing, we all rather walk, we pull the horse behind us. So now they're pulling the horse and going. They went past the other group of people. Those people say, look at this bewakoof family. They got a horse, they're all walking. Can't they take turns one by one and ride the horse? So that is insan. Insan, you can't please. When a person tries to live his life pleasing insan, he'll be like he's in chains, he's shackled. When we know that we have to please only one Allah Ta'ala, we have to please only one Allah, now life becomes very, very simple, very easy. As long as Allah Ta'ala is happy with me, any situation I'm faced with, what is Allah's hukam? I must just follow Allah's hukam. Now, who gets upset with me, who's happy with me, all that, that's all by the way. Long as Allah Ta'ala is pleased, Allah must be happy. So that story about the parrot, so I was mentioning that story in the Jummah Mayan. Now, you know, fight our nafs and all that. Now, this person, Bichara, he understood it differently. He went and released the parrot. He said, no, Ma said, mustn't keep parrots. So he opened the parrot, let the parrot go. So you have to understand also, when we're talking about ikhtilat, now you go home, you tell your wife and children, no, no more ikhtilat. I mustn't make ikhtilat now. So you're not talking to your own wife and children. So that is wrong. Sometimes you have to go and visit your family members. Then if you are working, whatever your profession is, so you will have to meet. But all the time to want to be in company of people, this is not good. And in our day, we must also find that time where we sit alone with Allah Ta'ala. Like how we make time for everything else. Make time for Allah Ta'ala. That is my golden hour, just me and my Allah alone. None of us can be busier than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And especially those of us that are serving deen. Sometimes shaitan puts this thought in the mind. No, I am making khidmat of deen. I am already doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing that. So why do I now need to sit alone and talk to Allah Ta'ala? If anyone served Allah Ta'ala's deen, it is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam served Allah Ta'ala's deen the most. But Allah Ta'ala is telling Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when you finish now, that means you finished with all the people, all the different works of deen that involves the people, now free yourself and turn to your Rabb. In other words, you too must take out time that you are alone with Allah Ta'ala. So the best time is tahajjud time. But if a person can't do it at that time, whichever time he can take out. But each one of us, we must have that time where it is just me and Allah Ta'ala. That's how we build our relationship with Allah Ta'ala. We build that love for Allah Ta'ala. We ponder over the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.